Support for this podcast comes from HealthNetics. Do you have nagging aches and pains from your younger, more athletic days? HealthNetics CBD is a premium brand CBD that may help take care of aches and pains, as well as relieve anxiety and sleeplessness. HealthNetics products are all natural, THC-free, made in the USA, and undergo third-party lab testing to ensure quality and purity. All CBD is not the same. Order today with a money-back guarantee at HealthNetics.com and use promo code SPORTS for 20% off.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We live?
We are live.
Hey, we're live, pal. What's up, everyone? Jose Youngster at MMAFighting.com here with another episode of an extra live episode of the A-Side Live Chat. Sitting next to me is Casey Lydon. I know everyone was really excited to do an extra live episode with Pete Carroll, but you can blame airlines for that. What was it, overbooking or delayed flights or something or other? But
I think what I heard was he had too many potatoes in his bag, and American Airlines, you know, their corporate greed won't let you come on with more than two carry-on bags of potatoes. So yeah,
what you gonna do? But Pete will be here eventually, I'm sure.
Was that racist? But did I start off with racist humor?
I just assume everything you say is racist.
No, you're from Texas,
right? Yeah. Anyway, Pete will be here for the preview and post and all that jazz. He's supposed to be here sometime today, but who knows with American Airlines. But we are here live on the scene in Las Vegas ahead of UFC 246, which will be at the T-Mobile Arena right down the street, headlined by Conor McGregor's return against Donald Cerrone in a welterweight fight for whatever reason.
It's not a title fight. How is this a pay-per-view and no title fight?
I don't know, Dana White. When was the last time this happened?
A Conor fight.
Was it the Conor-Nate fight? Before that, it was Conor-Nate, and then I know.
Yeah, the first Conor-Nate was under late notice, so like that made sense. But after that, I guess Conor-Nate too, right?
Yeah, and before that, I know Anderson-Nick Diaz was a non-title fight. Yeah. That was in January. That was Super Bowl weekend, I think. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Of course, this is not our podcast. This is your podcast. So if you have any questions, you can go to MMAFighting.com, leave your question in the comment section. Esther Lynn will be reading the questions. She's off to the side. I'm sure you'll hear her lovely voice. So you can use hashtag the ASAT on Twitter, and you can ask the questions. But without further ado, Esther, what do our lovely readers and listeners want to know about?
The first question is from longtime, contributor?
Yes.
Question contributor? Lodovic?
Lodovic. Good questionable contributor.
Killer start.
Fighters versus USADA. Hello, gentlemen. In the wake of the recent news where Jessica Penne accused USADA of bullying her into retirement, and then Anthony Pettis suing them for cutting his finger collecting a sample moments before a fight, I wonder if this is the beginning of a more serious pushback. What do you think about these cases, and what do you expect? More fighters to become more vocal with their complaints. Is USADA's image in the eyes of fighters getting worse, or are these just individual cases?
Well, for those of you who don't know, Jessica Penne announced via her Instagram that she was being forced to retire by USADA. Well, they bullied her into retirement because of a lot of back and forth with them with positive results and so on and so forth. She said it was an over-the-counter prescription that she had a note from her doctor that she could take, but USADA flagged her anyway. And she said that it's been so bad during her, three-year layoff that she's had to, drive Uber. She's had to take various, non-fighting jobs to make ends meet and also pay for all this legal stuff. So Jessica Penne might have retired for quote-unquote being bullied into retirement. You've been doing stuff with Jessica Penne for a very long time, dating back to Invictus. So what were your thoughts when you heard all this?
It just sucks. I wasn't surprised. I mean, I knew I knew Jessica, was having just, stuff you don't really put out there, but there's no reason to. But I've known for a while that Jessica was in some very not good financial situation because of no fighting and everything. So it just sucks. And if what was the question?
Well, we see more pushback from fighters, and what do we expect?
Yeah, you might get pushback, but I don't expect anything.
Yeah,
I don't expect a thing. I don't expect anything unless you're a name that matters to the UFC. A name that affects their wallet.
Their bottom line.
Yeah. No. There's gonna be zero changes, nothing. It just sucks for Jessica Penne. Sucks for Tom Lawler, sucks for a lot of fighters. Sucks for Josh Barnett. Sucks for a lot of fighters. And you know what? And if Nate Diaz wasn't Nate Diaz, if it was, you know, Jimmy Diaz, just Jimmy Diaz, you know,
Jonathan Diaz.
Yeah, John. If that situation happened to him, Jonathan Diaz would be gone for 2 years, mm-hmm. or he would have to pay, you know, $50,000 in lab test fees to get his suspension back to 6 months or
whatever. I mean, the UFC moved an entire pay per view from Las Vegas to Englewood because of John Jones and his USADA tomfoolery. So we've seen the lengths they can go to keep a fighter on a card. But if your name is Jessica Penne and you lose 3 years of inactivity due to all of this, what is it? Anthony Pettis cut his hand open too. I like saw the headline. I didn't like quite look into it.
Long story short, USADA wanted him to take a piss test.
Like right before the fight, right?
Yeah, probably within like, you know, a couple hours before the fight. And essentially he had no more piss, so he just had to keep drinking water. And then like right before he went out there, maybe about half an hour, I think is what he's around there, he just cut his thumb tying the bottle back on, the little plastic bottle. So he had to get it stitched up, glued up, and everything. And
his coach didn't want him to take the fight, from what I read. Like, Duke Groove was like, don't take the fight. Imagine if he didn't take that fight because of USADA.
Esther, if you get a chance, I know it's not that boring, but if you can ever find any old photos and zoom in on that hand, I wonder if we can actually see where the cut is. I'm assuming it's under the wrap somewhere.
I would imagine so. But like on the palm?
Yeah, you said it was kind of in the thumb area. But, I mean, that's a USADA issue. But not really. It was just kind of stupid. It was just a lot of dumbness. But going back to the original question, is going to be pushback, all this stuff? No.
Then nothing will change unless nothing will change. A big name makes a difference.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that this is something we've discussed before, a fighter's union should...
I know. We're talking about unions? That's a different story.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
On the individual level of fighters, ain't nothing changing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, union. Yeah, if you want to talk unions, that's something else.
All right.
Unions would help a lot and solve a lot of this situation, but
unions would solve a lot of situations for fighters: financial, drug testing, all that kind of stuff. How many fights they get.
All right. Next question. This is from Devin from nowhere.
Hi, Devin.
Hey, Devin.
Do you think Conor acting as stoic as he has been is somewhat attributed to the fact that this is how he acted in his first few fights in the UFC? Not much trash talk, but very confident and purely driven by competition. He knows that that is the recipe to success.
He talked so much before in his early fights.
What's like, he? What? Stoic? Didn't he say the first one to shoot in is a cow bitch?
Yeah.
How's that stoic? What are we talking about?
Conor, I think, I wouldn't call him stoic. He is watching what he says is what I feel like. The public image of Conor was never lower leading, like when they announced this fight, like with all his issues with in Dublin and with the police and the bus and how he acted before the Khabib fight. And even after the Khabib fight, when they're going at it on Twitter, remember that? With like, they brought up like his wife and Khabib brought up the allegations against Conor. I remember you guys were even interviewing like Kelvin Gastelum at a luncheon, and people were asking fighters not even involved, like, is this too far? And all the fighters were like, it's going too far. Now I think Conor is just trying to watch what he says because his image has never been lower.
Yeah, I don't see this as a stoic Conor.
I see it as a calculated him trying to not say something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, what are you gonna say? Because Conor still makes his money selling pay-per-views. So is he gonna go out there and just go, oh, Cowboy sucks. He sucks. Why are you gonna don't buy his pay-per-view because he sucks. This is an easy fight for me. No, it's like he still has to, you know. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the selling point in this fight is other than, hey, it's Conor fighting.
And, yeah.
And like I don't think any trash talk sells another pay-per-view.
Conor fighting the guy with the most wins in UFC history, most knockouts, most head kick knockouts, most stoppages, like that's what the selling point of this is. Conor versus the guy who has all of the UFC records.
All right. This is a good segue into a question from Hefe01. Cowboy playing spoiler. Donald Cerrone is supposed to lose this fight. Conor and the UFC, to an extent, has already looked past it as a foregone conclusion. Cowboy doesn't have near the same upward trajectory as Conor, but I really want the underdog to win simply because he has been written off here. I know the ramifications won't be the same as Elite XC when Kimbo fell, but would Dana have to eat his word and give Gaethje a title fight after Khabib and Tony, of course? Would the lightweight division demand meritocracy be followed? Or would Conor somehow worm his way into a title fight again, saying the loss is at 170 and the title shot is at 155?
If Conor loses, Pete and I are in an agreement that the Nate trilogy is the one that makes the most sense. They both be coming off losses, and that's the biggest fight that Conor could probably have off of a loss. Unless they want to do like the Masvidal fight or just throw him in against Kamaru or make him fight Justin Gaethje. But I think in terms of casual fans, the trilogy fight against Nate would be the one that I think would make the most sense for Conor if he does lose.
I think even in a loss, unless it's a first round just demolishing,
sure,
nothing changes for Conor. Conor could lose this fight.
Mm.
If it's a competitive decision, I swear he could lose this fight and still get a title shot.
He could get...
I mean, dude, Jose Aldo lost his last fight.
It's true.
And fans and Dana are like, yeah, give him a title shot. It's like, why? He lost the fight. It's like, whoa, it was close. And some people thought he won.
He's lost two in a row. This would also be Conor losing two in a row.
Oh, yeah. Then, yeah, he's definitely... Yeah, so Conor's road to the title is definitely losing the fight.
He could be the fill-in replacement, I think. If he's still, he would still be ready to fight Khabib versus to fill in for Khabib or Tony on that, in that April pay-per-view in Brooklyn. But, God, I hope that doesn't happen. But I'm still on record saying that fight's never going to happen, Khabib and Tony.
Yeah, so so the question, would Dana eat his words? No.
Justin Gaethje's, even if Conor loses, Justin Gaethje's the odd man out of this whole scenario. Like, who's he going to fight? The winner of Iaquinta, or not Iaquinta, like Hooker Felder? Like, that would be, like, if he wants to stay active, maybe. Or the winner of Kevin Lee and Charles Oliveira. But Justin Gaethje is still going to be the odd man out, regardless of the outcome on Saturday.
Yep. Just, no matter what happens Saturday, Justin Gaethje loses.
Masvidal, if he loses, it would be a big thing. Like, not a big thing, but I think it would shake up. Like, I bet they try to get Masvidal Usman next rather than Masvidal Conor at welterweight. So Conor losing would probably affect the welterweight division title picture much more than the lightweight title picture.
Yeah, Gaethje doesn't win, though.
It's true.
All right. Okay, let's continue with this card. Underdog Pettis versus a rising Carlos Diego Fajeda. Fajeda is getting some well-earned shine this week and is the betting favorite. But he's actually Pettis' elder by 2 years and has only recently come into his own as a striker. Do you favor him and Fortis MMA as well?
Fortis MMA has been one of the hottest teams in camps in MMA currently. So I don't disagree with the odds maker that favor the surging fighter as opposed to the fighter that's coming off of a loss in a 3-round fight. So this is the first fight of the pay-per-view, I believe. It's the opener. So I do agree with the odds makers. I also watched that the countdown, and they followed Carlos Diego Fajeda around, and they were not only did they talk about Fortis MMA, but they talked about how like his wife, I think it's his wife or girlfriend, whoever, was also like a bodybuilder before when they met, or she was like working. She was working in some fitness competition and looked at his diet and was like, he was eating like cereal every day.
I love cereal.
But he would like eat cereal to like lose weight and then go work out. So he would basically just be dehydrating himself and then just eating milk and cereal. And she's like, nope, we're getting your diet in check. So not only has he changed camps, but he's got like his diet in check. He's basically actually living the life of a professional athlete now. So no, I don't disagree with the odds makers. I would favor Carlos.
What type of cereal was he into?
Couldn't tell you, man. Couldn't tell you. Might have been real sugary.
That's what.
What cereal?
That changes. I gotta find out. I really got no opinion on this, so I find out.
Media days in a couple days.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't even know.
Do you favor Carlos Diego Fajeda?
Sure.
In this?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a good fight. It's a smart booking, and yeah.
He's been on a streak.
I'm picking Ferrer, but nothing would surprise me in this fight.
No, Anthony Pettis is proven to, like, in that Chiesa fight, he looked unbelievable. But
that was awesome. Was that Chiesa's last fight at 55 too?
That and Chiesa missed weight.
Yeah. I don't put too much stock in that. It was a good victory at the time, but we'll see how Pettis looks back at 55. His hands not cut up from peeing in a cup 5 minutes before the fight. And
this is his return to lightweight too, after his string of fights at welterweight.
Oh, right.
So another storyline in that fight.
All right, sorry. One second. I'm just banning someone real quick.
Sick.
Yeah. You're out. Jerk. What did they say? They say something. Were they?
No. It was just spam.
Ah.
Yeah.
Boring.
Oh, I have a question. What's your favorite cereal?
I liked Waffle Crisp growing up, and there was this cereal that I think it was when Toy Story 2 came out. It was a Buzz Lightyear cereal. That ruled. They don't make that anymore. And then when Batman came out, the one with the penguin, I can't even remember. Batman Forever? No, not Batman Forever. I don't remember. It might have been Batman Forever. That was a good cereal, too. So those three.
Currently, I'm really into... what did we get? Shredded wheat? What's this?
Kashi shredded wheat.
Kashi.
You just found that?
Kashi shredded wheat?
Yeah, that's been a mint thing for a long time.
Yeah. But I mix it in with... Cocoa. I'm mixing it with peanut butter puffins. What is it?
Peanut butter puffins.
Huh?
Peanut butter pandas.
Peanut butter pandas mixed in with some Kashi shredded wheat, with some.
Then the last time I saw you here in Las Vegas, you were like, "Look what! Like I've been drinking sparkling water a lot more."
Oh.
And like you were like, "I just got into this." I was like, "So you've discovered sparkling water and Kashi shredded wheat."
Dude, every day is exciting for me. Hey, Esther, get. Yeah, prayer could win, a good fight, stop eating too much cereal, cool storyline. All right, next question.
Whoa, there he goes.
Bye, Casey.
Bye, Casey.
I can't wait, like the listeners, people only listen to this. Sometimes on like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, they're gonna hear all this like noise in the background. All
right, I'm back.
What is it, so you've just discovered San Pellegrino?
Yeah. This stuff's so good.
Welcome to the 21st century.
And, since this is a fight week, and our food is expensed, I'm getting the good stuff.
Fight week, blog week.
Getting the good stuff. Next question, Esther Lynn.
Next question. Sorry.
Oh, refreshing. How many calories?
Zero.
Wow. Only 35.
Oh, okay.
35 right. Calories.
Well, okay. The next question is actually not related to this card. From Trumbo.
Hi, Trumbo.
Featherweight title fight. Volkanovski was talking recently about how he doesn't think Max necessarily deserves an immediate rematch. And Max didn't call for one, and it seems like it's going to take a little time to regroup and recover. A couple questions. One, should Max get an immediate rematch? Was it close enough? Two, would you prefer Max take another fight or two first just to get back in the rhythm and make needed adjustments? And if it's not Max, who do you want to see Volkanovski fight next? Sabit, Yair, Zombie? Seems like Zombie's the only one who can match the pace and cardio of Alex. Or are there any dark horse contenders out there who could come for the belt in 2020?
So, in Jose's perfect world, Max Holloway takes some time off because he fought a lot of five-round fights between December 2018 and December 2019. Take some time off. We talked about this on our coffee talk. I think he should do the Ronda Rousey approach where he takes like a while off, and whoever has the belt, when he wants to return, he fights. Like it could be Volkanovski, it could be the Korean Zombie, it could be Zabit. I think Max should fight whoever is the champion at the time.
Is that the only part of the Ronda Rousey approach you should take?
Yes.
Okay, just that part.
Just that part. when Ronda lost to Holly, she took that time off, and then by the time she returned, Holly wasn't the champion. It was Amanda Nunes, and then
so hope someone else is a champion. Yes. Okay.
So. Oh, and then Volkanovski fights the Korean Zombie, and then Zabit finally fights Yair. That is my perfect scenario for the featherweight division.
Does Holloway deserve a rematch? Yeah, he deserves one.
Yeah.
Is it smart for Holloway to take a rematch? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think that fight was...
I rewatched it. It's a lot. It wasn't as close as I thought.
I had a 5-0 for Volkanovski. 4-1. Yeah. 4-1. Yeah. But even the round that you probably gave the Max.
It was really close.
It was close. Like you, yeah. It was almost a, it was almost a courtesy round. You kind of gave the Max like, well, you know, it looks better if it's, you know, you won one round, you know.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't see, I don't understand how Volkanovski is this good, but that's a whole nother thing. It's just in the sense that, like, he just shuts people down. They just don't seem to, like,
oh, it's that city kickboxing approach where they game plan perfectly to an opponent. Like Volkanovski had said, like all these fighters that fought Max came in with the same thing that they always do. Like, Frankie Edgar fought as Frankie Edgar. Like, Jose Aldo fought as Jose Aldo. Brian Ortega fought as Brian Ortega. And Volkanovski is a different fighter every single time because he completely tailors his camp to fight a specific opponent again and their weaknesses. And you saw that against Max Holloway with all those leg kicks.
Yeah, and someone like Max has, there's so much footage on him. So we know how Max looks when he's winning. We know how he looks when he's tired. We know how he looks when he's getting beaten up. We know how he looks when he's on the ground. So, like, there was going to be no surprises. And that's extremely tough for Max. That's why Demetrius Johnson was so unreal in his run that he had. He still has, I believe. He's still going through. Is that there's so much footage of him, and people still can't stop him. Volkanovski and Eugene Berman and the City Boxing guys and other Volkanovski's other coaches, they did just a perfect job. Maybe not the most exciting job. It was a highly technical fight.
Those rounds were the definition of 10-9. It wasn't blown away. Like, Max wasn't getting destroyed in those rounds, but he was clearly one step behind the whole fight.
So I don't think Max should take a rematch. I think he should take some time off. And any three of those, what's the big three? Zombie?
Yeah. I think I like Zombie because Zombie's coming off back-to-back first round knockout wins over Frank Edgar.
Zombie makes the most sense for sure. But
for sure makes the most sense, and then Yair and Zabit have been linked for a while. And then I remember when Yair was supposed to fight Zabit on the Dallas card, and Yair, and then it fell out. And then when
is that the one he was released on?
Yes, and then he came back, and then Zabit got the Subulov stretch against his replacement. I think it was Brandon Davis. And then even in Mexico, people were asking him about Zabit when he was already scheduled to fight Jeremy Stevens. So I like those two fights.
Only reason I don't like Zabit Yair is because I don't like knocking out number one contenders.
Sure.
But otherwise, I mean, he has a fan. Fuck yeah, let's see it.
Two tall, lanky, crazy strikers.
Of course I want. If they didn't knock them out of contention, I would want. Then, of course I want to see. I want to see.
And then fight. Brian Ortega is always a dark horse too, a wild card when he wants to return.
Oh, but he's out for a while with his knee injury, right?
Was it a long time? I thought. I don't think it was a complete tear.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, you still got Zombie. I mean, you still got Ortega in Zombie. There when he gets back. I mean, yeah. The key being, take a break, Max.
Jeremy Stevens is fighting someone too.
Cater.
Yeah, and then Arnold Allen is fighting on that Raleigh card.
But you know who the dark horse is? Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall. Watch out, Volkanovski. Ryan Hall is after you.
So, yeah, sure.
The bad boy.
Ryan Hall versus Pedro Munhoz, right?
Is that going to happen?
I don't know.
I still can't get over the fact that Ryan Hall versus Jeremy Stevens wasn't booked. That's a fight to make.
Good Lord.
Next question, Esther Lynn.
Next question. Stanley in the chat.
Hey. What's up, Stanley?
Would like to know, what is the good underdog bet for this week's card for UFC 246?
I haven't looked at all the bets. Who's the favorite in the Andre Fili Sadiq Youssef fight? I love that fight.
Let's check.
I think that's a 50-50 fight in my mind.
Yeah, I went, it might... sorry, I had to burp. my underdog one. I'll go cowboy. Freak it. I don't know. I don't know how Connor's gonna look. He's been out for how long has he been out now?
But Casey, he's never looked better.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know what?
Casey, he's stoic and focused, and he's never looked better.
Yeah. A stoic Conor McGregor is the new motivated.
You see that beard? That's the most burly beard I've seen him have. Like, punch him in that. Beards obviously help. Except when your name is Brock Lesnar.
Okay, well, so for Sadiq Youssef and Andre Fili, the line is actually very close.
Yeah.
Sadiq Youssef is a slight favorite.
Minus
like 130, 140, and Andre Fili is like a plus 110.
I would say Andre Fili is a pick for an underdog, but that's real close.
That's
What's the line for the People's Main Event? You know the People's Main Event. Macy Barber versus Roxanne Modafferi.
Holy shit.
Language.
Whoa, good God.
Language, whoa.
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
The line is crazy. The line is minus 1,000 for Macy.
What? Dude. I'm picking Macy, but throw some money on Roxy. Throw some money. Macy might slice her hand open, like peeing in a cup right before she walks out. These things happen. Mine's $1,000, or throw some money down on Roxy.
Good.
There's your dark horse pick.
That's all right. Out of control.
Next question. We answered that one. God, this is delicious. Only 35 calories?
Chewy Sanchez would like to know what the sleeper fight we should look out for that's not on the main card. And you guys actually kind of just discussed it. The Feeling Yusuf.
I love that fight. I like the JJ Aldo Sabina Mazo fight.
The curtain jerker. That's a good fight, too.
That's an unbelievable fight. Brian Kelleher, former co-host of the A-Side, is fighting on the Fight Pass card or ESPN Plus card. Also part of the Crystal crew. He tweets all his crystals hanging from his mirror a lot. Alexei Olenek, Maurice Green's fun.
Actually,
that's on the main card, though.
Oh, yeah.
This is one hell of a fight night card.
I know. Everyone in the comment section when I watched the countdown.
Grosso Gadelia.
But that's on the main card. We were talking about the countdown, the narrator is like, headline, this stacked card in the Desert of Las Vegas. All the comments are like, did he say stacked? Like, this is a boxing card. It's one massive fight and then a bunch of fights that are interesting and might be important but aren't sellers.
Yeah, like it's because it sounds like you're shitting on the fighters, and I'm totally not. It's just
I love. There's a lot of fun.
It really has to do about. Am I gonna pay? Was it $70 now?
Yeah.
Pay $70 to see the Crochet King or Crochet Monster. What's his name?
Crochet Boss.
Am I willing to pay $60 to watch the Crochet Boss fight? That's a different story.
Tim Elliott fighting Askarov on the prelims too?
PT's
been, like, when we did the which fighter is going to be champion by the end of 2020, PT picked every single European fighter, and he's like, Askarov, flyweight champion 2020.
Okay.
Nazareth's fighting on this card too, on the prelims.
And on the prelims is the people's main event.
That's true. Minus -1,000 Macy Barber.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
That's wild. Oh my god, minus all right.
That's like GSP Massera line, right?
I think Mazo Aldridge is gonna be an awesome fight too. To start the card off, like,
because Mazo is very tall for the weight class, and JJ Aldridge is very short for the weight class.
Yeah, so
that's just gonna be like an aesthetically like interesting matchup.
Next question, Esther Lynn.
Actually, the next one isn't a question. It's just from Ant Walker. It says hi.
Hey,
Ant Walker.
Hey. Congratulations on your baby.
Yeah, you made a baby.
All right.
Creating humans.
Creating humans. Okay. Ant has a question.
Oh, geez, I thought we were done.
No, I will not change the diapers for you.
No. He says, is anybody getting a UFC 209 vibe with how little Cowboy has been featured in the advertising?
209?
What was 209?
That 209 was Woodley and Stephen Thompson, right?
Oh, yeah. Maybe he means more with the 196? Is that the one where Connor lost to Nate?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that.
I don't think Cerrone was on that card.
Ant Walker, I don't understand your question.
I get vibes of Ronda and Amanda, where all the previews are about Ronda and nothing about Amanda Nunes.
Maybe that's what he means.
That's 207.
Okay,
close enough.
That's close enough. 207.
I think that's what he just means. How does this feel with all the marketing being on one side?
I mean, it makes sense because that's going to get the casuals to watch, same as like the Ronda fight, and then you saw what happened with Amanda Nunes, and she became a big. She's still not a megastar, but more people. Like, Ronda's, the win over Ronda gave her the rub with the casual fans. So if Cowboy wins, he'll get the rub. I also think Cowboy's one of the few fighters that has an established fan base that would actually boo Connor. So, like, when they get on the scale and Connor comes out and Cowboy comes out, Nate was one of them. Like, Nate had an established fan base that could oppose Connor's fan base. And I think Cerrone is one of those fighters that had his fans could go volume for volume against Connor's fans this week, just simply because I haven't seen any Irish fans out and about at all this week.
It's still early.
It is. Yeah. It's like, or UFC 202, we were all talking before, like, this doesn't feel like a big fight week, and then they start throwing water bottles and monster cans at each other, and then all of a sudden it was a really big deal. But yeah, I if he means UFC 207, then 100% I get that vibe.
I wonder if Connor feels like he's gonna have to do something wild to spark.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
a la Ronda Rousey getting Holly Holm's face. At the weigh-ins.
No, I don't get that. I don't get the vibe though. I don't get that Amanda Ronda vibe at all. I think this has its own vibe on its own.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because UFC 209, I think, was also supposed to be Habib Tony when Habib fell out for eating tiramisu.
And the Ronda Amanda Nunes thing, it wasn't that. It was like Ronda just not talking to anyone. It was like she didn't even like do face offs. She didn't do anything. Like it was a.
She did the face off.
She didn't do the forward face off. Remember? Like,
oh yeah.
Remember like
she just walked out. Yeah, and then Amanda did the interview with Joe Rogan, and then Ronda did not. I do recall.
Oh, I just clarified. He did mean the Ronda Amanda fight. Okay.
Baby fever has gotten him loopy.
Next question.
The next question is from Henry Downs. He just wants to know, can Holly win?
Yeah. She won the first time. I don't know why she can't win the second time.
I think she'll win. Yeah.
This was her UFC debut was against Raquel Pennington, right? Mm-hmm. On UFC 184, the Zingano-Ronda fight in the Staples Center.
It was at Staples Center.
It was a co-main event. I know that because there was so many injuries because Ronda was supposed to be the co-main event. It was supposed to be Weidman, Belfort, and then that fell out.
Yeah, I remember like, and at that point, Holly was coming back from an injury. It was her UFC debut, and she was almost out for like a year, and she talked about it at length previous interviews.
It was
but
a
like
split how decision,
she,
right?
Yeah, but I thought she won the fight. Yeah. But basically, Ronda was just like, me and Holly was just kind of super like, just like, oh, I'm just super nervous. And just.
Who was her second fight? I think it was on that San Diego card against Marion Renault.
Yeah, Marino. And Marino, she dominated. I thought that was... And then after that, I think it's title fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Marino fight was the San Diego card on, like, a Wednesday. Remember they would do those random Wednesday ones? And that was the first fight card after Conor Mendes. That was Mir Duffy and Josh Thompson. Tony Ferguson was on that card, too, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Those are all facts. Those are things.
All right.
So,
well,
so the question was just, can Holly win?
Yes. That was she won the first time.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So another question about this card, actually. Scott Brown would like to know about Grasso versus Claudia Goodell.
I like that fight. We watched the Mexico card together. That when Grasso fought Carlos Esparza. That was one of the better fights of that card.
Who won that? I can't remember.
Carlos Esparza. But it was really close.
It was super close.
And a lot of us said that even in loss... Grasso won because that fight was super competitive and fun.
Yeah, I see so many dang fights, but I do remember that fight now being really awesome and very, very like underrated as far as like.
Is that I might have been the co-main event for the IPO between Yair and Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah, no, it's a great fight. I mean, at this point, I wonder how long we call Grasso a prospect. You know.
She looked unbelievable against Karolina Kolbukiewicz. Like, even at the end of that fight, when they were just, like, slinging leather, and Alexa Grasso, like, overextends on a punch and misses, and then comes flying back with, like, a spinning back fist. Like, she looked exceptional in that fight. And then she looked really awesome against Carla Esparza in a fight that was pretty 50-50, I think, from what I recall. I think you thought Carla won, I thought Alexa won, or vice versa, but... She even did the scrum after, and she's like, even though I lost, a lot of people are saying I won, so I'm going to treat myself like a winner. And then Cloudy has been one of the longest tenured flat, like strawweights on the roster.
I know. I love established vets versus up and coming prospects. So that fight's awesome, and Grasso wins. Kudos.
Sure. It's a good fight. I like that a lot.
All right.
We got some Twitter questions?
No, there weren't actually that many Twitter questions.
Look under the like the replies and stuff.
Yeah. Because
a lot of people just replied to the link online, too.
Okay.
That's off you.
Well, in the meantime, actually, we have a kind of a weird question. STE Shar would like to know... It's a little off topic. Robert Whittaker always rubs the bottom of his foot on his calf during fights. What is the reason?
He what?
Rubs the bottom of his foot off on his calf when he's fighting.
I have no idea. You've trained way more than me. So
that's just probably just a weird tick he has. That's just a tick.
It's like Cowboy, I noticed when he fights, he always like hits He takes like his front knuckle and like bops on his forehead when he walks.
That's just a tick. That's just all. That's everyone. Every fighter has that if you look close enough.
When does he do it? I've literally never noticed it. Like during the fight or between rounds
He's probably just wiping. Like he has like little you get little specks of dust on the bottom of your foot and stuff. It's like
shrapnel if you
will. Shrapnel. That's all.
Did you have to say that out loud?
Did you say shrapnel?
Yeah.
Well, shrapnel's not a thing.
Talk to the mic.
Sorry.
Esther Lynn doesn't know how audio works.
I don't know how audio works.
Hi, I'm Esther Lynn. I don't know how audio works. This is Focus. Oh, this is delicious.
Okay, Doo-Doo would like to know why a lot of fighters grow beards.
I don't know.
Doo-Doo.
Personal choice, maybe?
Wait, why they grow beards?
Yeah.
Well,
hunting season. People grow beards during hunting season.
I think there was a survey, a new study that came out. I read it today about how women prefer men with beards because they look more dominant and aggressive.
From the peanut gallery over there in the corner.
Hey, lady in the back.
Yeah.
Do people like men with beards?
Men with beards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
So the only other woman in the room.
Yeah.
So we have
a hot chick in the back and she's pro beard, so that's why they grow beards for the hot chicks.
All right, cool.
I hope that answered your question, Doo-Doo.
is that Eduardo Dantas' nickname?
Doo-Doo Dantas,
Duda?
Yeah.
Or is it Duda?
No, it's Doo-Doo.
Yeah.
It's
Doo-Doo. Eduardo Dantas. If Eduardo Dantas comes out with a beard in his next fight, we know that was him. Like, ask him that question.
All right, from the site, Zaku would like to know, Carlos Condit wants to return in 2020, and is this a smart move given the injuries he's had of late, and who would you like to see him fight if he does return?
I bet they try and just rebook the Mickey Gall fight. That's the one that was supposed to be on the DC card that you guys were at. Mickey Gall doesn't have a fight since. He's like supposedly supposed to fight Cowboy Oliveira, but then that fight just never materialized, so I wouldn't be surprised if they try and rebook that fight. You like veteran prospect fights.
Yeah.
You've been around Carlos Condit and his camp for probably more than anyone I know. So I think we're both in agreement that Robbie, the Carlos Condit of yesteryear kind of was finished after that Robbie Lawler fight. Like, took a lot out of him.
Took a lot out of physically both those gentlemen.
But yeah, I met Robbie Lawler. No kidding.
Yeah. Carlos. Yeah. He's still training, and everything I hear, he still wants it, and he still trains hard, and he still has it.
Remake for the third time, why not do Matt Brown Condon on the Columbus card?
Dude, yeah. I would rather see the Mickey Gall Condon fight. But Matt Brown. Matt Brown and Carlos Condit make a lot of sense right now.
They've been scheduled to fight twice, I think.
Oh, in the Columbus card too. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense actually.
So I think I don't remember who got hurt the first time, but Matt Brown Condit was supposed to be on that Glendale.
It was a main event. It was gonna be the main event too.
No, it wasn't.
Was it?
No.
Oh, I saw a poster for that too.
No, the first time they were supposed to fight, it was gonna be Pettis versus T.J. Grant, and then Matt Brown Condit, and then Grant fell out, obviously, and then Josh Thompson was supposed to fight Anthony Pettis, and Anthony Pettis got hurt, and then it ended up being Benson Henderson, Josh Thompson, in a non-title fight, and then co-main event was Gabriel Gonzaga and Stipe Miocic, because Matt Brown and Condit, I think, fell off. I don't remember what the city was. It might have been Chicago.
Yeah, so the answer is yes, Esther.
Okay, so...
Yeah, Carlos Condit should grow a beard. Is that the answer? Is that the question?
This is kind of a question for you to reference from other fight weeks, since we haven't really been out and about in Vegas yet this week, since we just got here. MidJoker789 would like to know, how is it being in Vegas and about to watch a McGregor fight card? For comparison, I'm in a chemical plant. I gotta say, I'm jealous.
Your work is probably much.
As a journalist, yeah, this is cool. Me as a fan,
thumbs down. People just listen to this a lot, so.
Oh yeah, thumbs
Casey
down.
Casey gives
a
thumbs down.
Yeah, for the audio people. I can't stand Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the city. I don't hate it as much as Luke Thomas. I think he left Vegas early during UFC 27 fight week. Ron is not doing media. Okay, bye. And he just left.
I can't stand Vegas. I'm not gonna say drunk Conor fans, but just drunk UFC fans are. There's nothing worse.
I like fight weeks in cities that don't normally get cards because they're really excited for that.
I just came back from a certain fight week in a very popular fight town called Tokyo, Japan, and seeing a fight week out there.
You're talking about Wrestle Kingdom, right?
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom. I was at Ryzen 20 and the Bellator Japan card,
I want to hit pause on that. So many people were mad at me that I forgot Ryzen 20 during my events of the year, but I wrote it before the fight card happened. So, yes, that fight card ruled and would have made the top five, but it was written before that happened. Go on.
I was at literally 1 million fight cards in 2019, and the very final fight card of the year, Ryzen 20 in Saitama, Japan, was the best card of the year. So
there you have it, folks.
Was the best card of the year. So this fight week, as a fan, honestly, I'm not that excited for. As a journalist, yeah, there's lots of storylines and top-ranked fighters and, you know, things like that. But, but this is... It's better than working at a chemical plant. Probably.
Doesn't Homer Simpson work at a chemical plant?
No, nuclear.
That's right, yeah. Sector 7G.
Yeah.
That's important, though.
It is very important. It's just different from... I remember the Mendez-McGregor card.
Because this fight has no stakes for me. I don't know. This is just paychecks for these guys. I mean, I don't... Yeah. Because... I don't know.
There's no championship belt on the line or nothing like that. But, McGregor-Mendez, it was like those two cards and two nights. It was International Fight Week. It was the first ever Reebok era pay-per-view. The card was stacked. We also had Lawler McDonald in the co-main event.
Yeah, that was a very exciting week. There were new things happening.
There was a lot of chaos around that fight week. It was also like Mendez was filling on a short notice and then led to UFC 194 in December, which is the three cards in 3 days.
And that was a different Conor. That was still the Conor like, I used to not have a pot to piss in. I only had two blueberries or something, whatever you used to say. Or I ate two, and something. But now it's just like, I made $80 million in my last fight. I'll make $50 million this fight. Cool, you're rich. Nice.
You're more rich.
Yeah.
$50,000 million, huh?
Yeah, $50,000 million.
And then you went more richer.
Yeah, I went more richer. It's like, so I'm like, all right, cool. I'm watching dudes get richer.
Richer, more richer.
More richer.
More rich.
More richer.
More rich.
More, okay.
The most richest.
The most richest.
Okay, real quickly, James Court, I'm just going to answer, we answered the Fajita Pettis thing a little earlier, so you can scroll back to find that. And Jeff M. wants to know, how long does PZ last in a fight with the EKZ Leiden?
Oh, PZ, he's crappy. He's a biter.
No, I also like to say that his hair has never been conditioned, so it's like a natural Brillo pad. So when he clinches up, that's going to shave your chin. He's going to be underneath.
He's going to go underneath my chin and just like dig in.
All of a sudden you're going to be like, wait, why am I bleeding from my chin and my neck? And all of a sudden you're going to see, he's going to be like, ha ha, natural Brillo pad on my head.
Yeah.
So there you go. Pete's
If I am not prepared mentally and physically, spiritually, I will get my ass handed to me.
Spiritually?
Yeah.
We have a lot of... Someone asked if... One of the questions months ago was if Pete and I found two bums on the street to train to fight, which of our chosen champions would win?
I don't understand what you just said.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, Kate... someone said if you found two homeless men outside, mm-hmm. and I had to pick one... And Petey had to pick one to train them to fight for our honor. And we send them. So basically, I would be like Greg Jackson, and Petey would be like Javier Mendez, and we just pick two random homeless people from the street and train them to fight in like a gladiator battle, which one of our chosen champions would win. Basically, who would make a better coach?
Oh, and?
We determined that it would be me because Petey is naturally gifted at fighting, similar to the John Jones, Chael Sonnen era of Tough, where it's hard for John Jones to teach someone something that comes so naturally to him, similar to Petey Carroll. So Petey would be a better fighter, I'd be a better coach.
I don't think this really solves our homeless population situation, but
it would not.
I really feel like that's quite cruel.
It is very cruel, but all someone right. asked us, and we don't want to disappoint our audience.
All right. Well, then, the next question.
You guys are some sickos.
Can you talk about a fight you are excited for in 2020?
That's been booked or like
that's been booked, yeah.
Tony Khabib is an obvious one. There's a rumor of Israel Adesanya and Yoel Romero.
I'm really excited to find out how good AJ McKee is.
Yeah.
I want to see how good
forgot
he
about
is.
Yeah, I'm saying just UFC, but you're right.
Yeah, and Ben's right. I want to see how good AJ McKee is because right now, holy moly, he looks amazing.
He's still undefeated. He's only fought in Bellator.
Yeah.
He debuted in Bellator. Oh, no. So he has, like, the most wins, longest win streak, this and that. I think if I'm Bellator...
I don't think he's even had
a tough fight.
A tough fight or even, like, a moment in the fight where, like, even maybe a minute he's literally lost in a fight yet. So...
You're right. I, like... If I'm Bellator, I hope it's Pitbull and McKee in the finals of that Grand Prix. I would hope... If we're talking about fights that I hope to happen non-UFC, I really want MVP versus Lima 2 or Lima MVP 2. Even MVP Larkin would be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think MVP. It's time to book MVP versus Larkin. Those guys they actually don't want to fight each other.
Yeah, because he said they were friends.
Yeah, something's a little weird about that. Not the friend thing. I don't know. But yeah, they just said they weren't really interested in fighting each other, which is fine. Yeah, I mean, I want to see what's next for Lima. I want to see an eventual rematch between Lima and MVP. UFC wise.
Wiley Zhang, Joanna's good.
Yeah, I want to see how good Zhang is.
Rose on draw two in a 3-round fight in Brooklyn.
You know what's funny? I'm usually almost always anti direct rematches.
Yeah.
But it's not really a direct rematch because Andrade fought between there. Yeah. But for Rose, it will be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So those make me nervous just because if Rose loses, only because, like, just because fans are stupid and fans will be like, oh, she sucks. It's like, no, she just lost to that woman. But the first round of Rose versus Andrade was unreal.
It was like, very high level. I had to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it live because that was the same day as, speaking of Bellator, that was the same day as Lima MVP and Chandler Pitbull. So I was in Chicago for that. So I had to rewatch like the Anderson fight, the Aldo fight, the Rose fight all after. But yeah, that first round was unbelievable.
Yeah. Things I'm excited for 2020, just where the hell... Or how far up the ladder, legend wise, is the Adesanya gonna be?
Yeah,
is Adesanya where is he gonna be? Is he gonna have three more title defenses? Who knows? I just want to see how good he is.
Cannonair Whitaker, I'm really excited for simply because I like to watch Captain Crystal fight.
There's so many awesome fights actually. It's just so yes, the answer is yes.
Someone's username named Max Holloway.
Oh, Ryan Hall's fighting in 2020.
All right. They want to know if there will be any Contender Series alumni ever fighting for a title in this year.
I don't keep up with the Contender Series. So, I don't know.
This year, probably. Macy Barber could be one. It's hard to say over, like, not in 2020. Macy Barber, I think, would have the best shot because of that division.
Macy seems like, and that seems to be the one.
Yeah. Sugar Sean is a contender, but I don't think he's going to fight for a title. Well, speaking of fights, I'm excited for the Sugar Sean coming back.
Yeah, but I think he still has, like,
ways to go.
4 or 5 fights minimum.
In 2020, I think Macy would have the best shot, especially depending. Like, she could get a shot beating Roxanne Modafari impressively.
Oh, without a doubt. She absolutely, if Macy beats Roxy in impressive fashion,
like she did her last few fights.
Yeah, absolutely, she should get a title shot against Valentina. Because now, Valentina, I mean, you have to almost rebuild that brand a bit because
depending on her Caitlin Chukagian fight, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She I forgot about that.
She's booked on the co-main of John Jones and Dominic Reyes.
Yeah, totally forgot about that fight. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe.
Wow. You know, it's like I was at the damn press conference. I shot interviews of both of them talking about the damn fight, and like, I don't know, I forgot.
You put Callum Jacquet on blast for saying like highlights when backstage in New York for the Valentina Liz Carmouche fight.
Dude, the UFC released Liz on that fight.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't think I was that.
I think the only thing, if they want to keep her active, like Joanne Calderwood's out there, like Joanne Calderwood and Macy Barber would be a fun fight, but
I just don't think it's necessary.
It's not.
Not necessary.
100% not.
Yes, it's just not necessary.
Macy Barber just has to win first. And Roxanne Modafari has been an underdog pretty much every fight she's in. And she's, she beat Valentina's sister in Russia in a fight that she didn't look at. I don't think she lost any second in that fight. So, like, she could do that to Macy Barber for sure. Like, Macy Barber, in her fight against J.J. Aldridge, didn't look that great in the first round. And then came out and just melted her in the second round. So, she's now training full-time with Rufus Sport, and Ben Askren is on record saying he doesn't want to really coach MMA anymore, but he's going to stick around for Macy Barber. So, Macy seems like the real deal going forward.
When's the next season of Tough happening?
So, Dana White keeps saying that Tough will come back, but have you been to the Apex at all? Like, I've been
We're going to go tomorrow.
So, I've been to the Apex 2 or 3 times for Contender Series fights, and it says that for the entrance, the hallway, is every single coach and team signs the jersey, and it has like the team photo, and in a huge letter it says The Ultimate Fighter 2005 to 2018.
Oh.
And I was like, I thought it was still going. So like they literally, it doesn't say to present, it just says 18 and then end. Such is life.
You watch Terrace House?
I don't even know what that is.
God,
in the peanut gallery.
I freaking love that show.
Okay, the hot lady in the background loves Terrace House. So, you uncultured MMA fans, get in your Netflix and watch Terrace House. Now, watch Terrace House. The reason I'm mentioning this, now imagine if Terrace House, that format, was The Ultimate Fighter.
I don't even know what that means.
The Ultimate Fighter would change. It would be... And we bring over those guys that come over.
Is it a scripted show?
No, it's a reality show.
Yeah.
Oh no! I hate reality TV. Oh good lord! I hate reality TV. But Terrace House. Ooh.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
I'm gonna click that moment.
Eight episodes in, and they haven't even made out yet. It's just like, right? They just hold hands and okay.
Kawaii. I'm so confused.
Get cultured, bro.
It's a super cute Japanese reality show about dating. So they bring in like 3 single women and 3 single men, usually like in their between like 21 and like 35.
Hannah Kimura, is that?
Hannah Kimura.
She wrestles in Stardom.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
How have you not converted this man?
I tried. He won't do it.
You guys are nuts. I still haven't watched your Watchmen show either. Did you read the book? I saw you got it for... You were reading... You read the whole thing?
Not yet.
Yeah, it's a lot of words, isn't it?
Yeah, words. So I should make that into a movie.
Yeah, right? They should make it into a movie and then make a show off of it and not pay the author, right?
Hey, he signed the deal.
Oh, okay.
Another question from Hefe.
Is it about Terrace House?
No.
Fuck.
It's about Connor versus Cowboy. Sorry.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, 170 has been an interesting angle for this fight. It makes a lot of sense if Connor's to slide into a fight with either Tony or Khabib. I'm actually not sure why. But do you think it was the plan from the beginning to do it at welterweight, or is it just something that Connor is just saying to try to make it come true?
I don't think there was any plan when it comes to Connor McGregor fights. Like, Connor was like, I want to fight on this date. And the UFC's like, all right. And then he's just like, I'm going to do welterweight. He's like, okay.
Okay. It's like, yeah.
Like, the UFC doesn't have a mask. Like, I think the no-brainer one is... If he fights at welterweight and wins, then he just goes and fight Jorge at welterweight for the BMF championship. But now Connor's on record saying he thinks Nate and Jorge have unfinished business in those 2 rounds. I don't know. I don't think there's any secret masterful plan.
The plan is if he wins at 170, then you can justifiably put him in a 55 title shot, put him in a 70 title shot. F it. Throw him at 85, put him against Izzy, you know? Like, why? Like, if they did that, would you be like, that's crazy? You'd be like, okay, here's my money. Whatever.
Izzy versus Connor?
What?
I mean, it'd be fun.
Yeah, why not? It's like, ugh. Like,
Connor would have to, like, gain 5 pounds to make, to weigh 173, weighing at middleweight.
It's just like, because, What are we talking about? It's what like about, we're talking about whatever sells.
What about George?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever sells.
George?
GSP, because oh. Everyone keeps everyone.
Oh, oh that George.
Horton. When I say George, who do you think of?
Costanza.
Oh. That George Springer?
Yeah. UFC vet George Sullivan.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the plan. The plan is whatever Connor wants.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. S. Saxman would like to know if Nunes will face... Well, face. Well, if Nunes will face Clarissa Shields in 2020.
Money talks. Man, Nunes seems pretty adamant that she doesn't want to do a boxing match, and she doesn't want Clarissa Shields to come in MMA and skip the queue. So... But money talks.
Yeah. If there's enough money, she will flace her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
She wants to. She wants her next fight to be at featherweight, though.
Good.
Like Amanda.
Oh, Clark. Dude. I want to... Oh, you know a fight that's not booked for 2020? And we're not there yet because she has to get a win. But I want to see Nunes versus Spencer really bad. I think that is a really interesting matchup. And the one spot in her entire career where Nunes has looked... very pedestrian.
Off her back?
Off her back. And a true 45er who is pretty much primarily, you know, a grappler. Felicia can put Nunes on her back. Dude, I don't know.
It'd be fun.
That's a fight I want to see. I want to see Spencer versus... Over Spencer versus Nunes much more than I want to see like Anderson.
Well, yeah, Anderson has a fight booked.
Why not? They both have fight booked.
That's true.
But true. Yeah, that's a fight I'm just hoping for. If talking about Nunes going defending a belt 45, and it'd be freaking awesome if Nunes actually defended her belt at 45 too, because I think that would be the first UFC
dual weight
champion to actually defend
at the same time.
Yeah,
because DC had won the heavyweight,
but he never defended 205. Cejudo never defended 125 flyweight.
Connor never defended either.
Connor never defended either. I think that's all three. Yeah. And then even going to Bellator,
Bader's about to defend his lightweight heavyweight.
He hasn't done it yet. Yeah. And Pitbull hasn't defended 55 yet.
Yeah.
So. I want to see it. Yep. I want to see if Nunes will be the first person to do it.
Who do you think gets the shot first between Megan or Felicia Spencer, depending on their wins?
I think Megan would have a 2 or 3 fight win streak, I think, right? Or 2 fight wins. I can't remember.
Well, no, but she has a loss over Spencer.
It's true.
Spencer should get it, but Megan probably sells more tickets.
Yeah.
So there's your answer.
Especially because that part of the world is such a hotbed for MMA right now. Australia, New Zealand.
Hotbed?
Yeah.
Is this about the fires? Jeez, man.
Oh, man.
All right.
Wow. You know how many koalas died?
That's too many.
Too many.
The kangaroos, too.
Ugh, jeez. This guy bringing up. Stick to sports.
All right. The comments seem to think that DC defended both the light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Well,
title.
He defended against Volkan Ozdemir in UFC 220. But
he wasn't
dual weight because Stipe beat France in that main event, and then their very next fight was Stipe DC. DC knocks out Stipe, and then DC defends against Derek Lewis and then loses to Stipe. So he never defended the light heavyweight while he was dual weight.
Yeah, Esther, block all those people. Block them all. Anyone that says
so he defended his light heavyweight championship against Gustafson, Rumble Johnson, and
but he never defended when he had both Baldwin. Belts.
Yeah,
right. But he didn't defend them while he had both belts.
Him, yeah,
correct.
Okay. Adam 1000 keeps asking, who will Dan Hardy fight this year?
Carlos Condit,
Diego Sanchez,
something like that.
Oh, actually, Dan Hardy, Carlos Condit. That kind of sounds
a rematch.
Just rematch.
That was a great fight in it was in England. I don't remember what city.
I don't remember.
I was there too. That was an awesome fight because
they both
threw those left hooks.
Double left hooks.
I know Dan Hardy and Diego Sanchez.
They both got dropped. It was like one of the coolest sequences ever. Just Hardy got hit a little bit harder.
Yeah, I know Dan Hardy and Diego Sanchez have had like Twitter beef in the past, but that was years ago.
I think Dan Hardy's going to 55. Yeah. He's not like Yeah, he's not bulked. I mean, when I see Dan, he doesn't look like he's a welterweight.
I know Mickey Gall wanted to fight him too.
Huh. Okay.
So yeah, that's your answer.
That's the answer. All right. Closing statements, friends.
Closing stick, Casey. You have closing statement.
I wasn't prepared for this.
It's a promo. We always get a promo.
The people's main event. Macy Barber, Roxanne Modafferi. That's the fight to watch.
You want
to see? And throw crap loads of money on Roxy. Not that I believe Roxy's going to win, but that line is freaking ridiculous. And if all these like plastic urine cups these fighters have backstage, you never know.
You want to give your rendition of Face Without Pain or Finger Paint?
Oh.
We've had a lot of people saying we're disappointed that they weren't going to get a live rendition.
Oh, so give me a beat. How's it like?
I don't even remember how Face Without Pain goes.
It goes a... Finger Paint.
Finger paint.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah.
Finger paint. All right, Pete C will be back for the preview or post show. For my closing statement, I was going to talk about Roxanne Modafferi being the OG weeb of MMA. Her and Alex Serres carried that banner for quite a long time. But now that we've seen fighters like Israel Adesanya and MVP kind of emerge, that they're winning at high level at rapid paces in main events and doing crazy anime moves, now all of a sudden to the forefront. And Roxanne Modafferi was the OG weeb, so I'm excited for her fight. I'm curious what Saiyan wig she comes out, because every time she fights, she does the Super Saiyan wig. And every time she weighs in, it's the next level of Super Saiyan. And in her last fight, she reached the final stage with the silver hair.
Wait, what do you call it? This Saiyan wig? What?
Saiyan. S-A-I-Y-A-N.
See, I thought you said, I wonder what sandwich she's going to walk out with. I was like, ooh, this sounds interesting. I love sandwiches.
You've covered Roxanne Modafferi probably longer than anyone on the site. Has she ever brought a sandwich out?
What? Yeah.
No.
A sandwich of pain. A knuckle sandwich. That's what you should have said. Oh, also shout out to Naito Two Belts on my medallion.
Oh, can we talk some Japanese pro wrestling?
I'm always down to talk about Japanese pro wrestling.
All right, and now I'm going to cut you guys off.
Because our audience wouldn't want to see that. But anyway, this has been Jose. That's Casey. We got the press conference tonight. We got media day tomorrow. We got weigh-ins on Friday. And then, of course, fights on Saturday. You can stick around on the YouTube channel. PT will be here for the festivities. You can go listen to him and Niall on Eurobash.
His flight should have landed right now.
Landing right now. This will, of course, be up on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all that. So shout out to people that just listened, because a lot of people tweet at me saying, I don't watch, I only listen, and you never talk about it.
And for all you teens out there, follow us on TikTok.
Oh, my God.
Hello. Hello, is this on? Hello.
Perfect time to end.